Today we come to the end of the book of Acts. It's been over a year, almost a year and a half in this book, as we come to the conclusion this morning of this book and this journey that began a long time ago. And as we finish this up, we're going to be starting a new series on heaven. And I pray that we'll be encouraged as we look at what God has in store for us and what his word has to say. But today, chapter 28, beginning at verse 17. I'm going to start in verse 16. Luke records that when we got to Rome, this was after the shipwreck that we had seen last week, when Paul was in the shipwreck in the storm and shipwrecked on the Isle of Malta. Eventually arrived at Rome, Paul was then allowed to live by himself with a soldier to guard him. 3 days later, he called together the leaders of the Jews, and when they had assembled, Paul said to them, "My brothers, although I have done nothing against our people or against the customs of our ancestors, I was arrested in Jerusalem and handed over to the Romans. They examined me and wanted to release me because I was not guilty of any crime deserving death. But when the Jews objected, I was compelled to appeal to Caesar, not that I had any charge to bring against my own people. For this reason, I have asked to see you and to talk with you, because it is because of the hope of Israel that I am bound with this chain." They replied, "We have not received any letters from Judea concerning you, and none of the brothers who have come here from there have reported or said anything about you. But we want to hear what your views are, for we know that people everywhere are talking against this sect." So they arranged to meet Paul on a certain day, and then came in even larger numbers in the place where he was staying. From morning till evening, he explained and declared to them the kingdom of God and tried to convince them about Jesus from the laws of Moses and the prophets. Some were convinced by what he said, but others would not believe. They disagreed among themselves and began to leave after Paul made this final statement: "The Holy Spirit spoke the truth to your forefathers when he said through Isaiah the prophet, 'Go to this people and say, you will be ever hearing but never understanding. You will be ever seeing but never perceiving. For these people's hearts have become calloused, and they hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise they may see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and turn, and I would heal them. Therefore, I want you to know that God's salvation has been sent to the Gentiles, and they will listen.' For 2 whole years, Paul stayed there in his own rented house and welcomed all who came to see him. Boldly and without hindrance, he preached the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ." Here ends the reading of God's word. His blessing abides upon it. Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank you for your word to us, and we thank you for this journey we have taken through the book of Acts. It's been an exciting journey as we have seen you work within the hearts of men and women, and how, Lord, your good story, your story of salvation, has touched and changed the world. Lord, we thank you for the impact it has made on us. And Lord, I pray that through your word this morning, you would again challenge us to see our world around us and those who still need to hear that story, and how you can use us as we share the story today. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever watched a movie like Star Wars is one of them? Maybe you're not into Star Wars. That's one of my favorite movies. But you watch a movie and you're into the story, and you get to the end of it and they build up to this big climactic conclusion. And you want to know what happens at the end of the story, or you're reading a book. There is a series that's on Hallmark called When Calls to Heart. And they do that. They build it up to a big climactic conclusion. And then they go to, do you see this? To be continued. Have you ever had that? Doesn't that make you like, ugh? Now I got to wait a year or two to find out how this story ends. Why don't they just tell me? They build it up to that part, get you all excited for the conclusion of the story, and then, boom, you got to wait till the next series and the movie comes out, or the next chapter in the book. Or as Jeff Kettering's writing his mystery novels, you got to wait till the next one comes out to find out what happens next in his story. That continuation, and you wonder, it leaves you hanging. It leaves you wanting for more. It leaves you wanting to know what happens next. As we get to the end of the book of Acts, Luke kind of leaves us in this part with the story kind of out there, unfinished and hanging. We have been traveling for the last chapters with Paul, finally getting to Rome. And we had seen as on his last missionary journey, as he was gone to Jerusalem and he had taken the gift for the churches there, to the church of Jerusalem, had been collected from the Gentile believers. And we had seen how he arrived in Jerusalem. He was arrested. And then the last couple chapters had dealt with his trial before Felix and Festus, building to the way that he finally appealed his case to Rome, to Caesar. And we saw last week as he traveled on his way to Rome, the storm he was caught in. And Luke builds up all this anticipation for us to travel with Paul to get to Rome. And now we get to Rome, and he kind of leaves the book unfinished because it doesn't tell us, well, what happened to Paul when he got there? It doesn't mention anything about the trial before Caesar. He doesn't tell us if he was acquitted, if he was set free, if he was let go, or what happened. And the story just kind of ends abruptly. And you say, well, why did Luke leave us kind of hanging with the story continued? Because God's purpose through Luke and the Holy Spirit in writing the book of Acts was not really to chronicle the stories of Paul and the life of Paul, but to tell the acts of the Holy Spirit through his people. And the story and the spread of the gospel. And Acts chapter 1, we had seen that Jesus had ascended into heaven and he gave his disciples a mission. And he said to go and to be my witnesses, beginning in Jerusalem, then Judea, and then Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And Luke had traced the story of the gospel from Jerusalem to Rome. And at this point, he left the story unfinished because the story is really just beginning. And we have witnessed the end of really the beginning of the gospel story. And Luke tells us how the church began, but the church has continued. And we are here today to carry on. The story is left incomplete, but it's still being told through you and me and the church today. As we carry on in the tradition of those who have gone before us, of sharing the good story of Christ, a story that began 2,000 years ago and will continue to be written until the day that the church age is done and Jesus returns for us and takes us to himself. So as we witness the end of the beginning this morning, there's two truths that Luke wants us to remember that we can get from the story, from this account today. And that is that the acts of the Spirit continue through us. That's part of why the book is left unfinished. And remember, I like to call the book the Acts of the Holy Spirit because that's really what it was. Luke was recording how the Holy Spirit was active in his people, how he was active in his church, changing the world and bringing people to Christ. And today, the Holy Spirit is active in you, and he's active in me, and he's active in our church, and his acts continue through us. That's why the story is left unfinished. And it continues through us, the acts of the stories continues through us as we carry on the mission today. The mission that God's given us that began in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. The mission, because God's mission is to be our mission. Do you believe that? What God is up to and what his mission for the world is, we should be included in that as believers today. We need to be living on mission for God. Thelma has said, we're either a missionary or a mission field. And living on that mission for him. And what is the mission? First, to make disciples of all nations. Jesus said, before he went to heaven, he gave us what is called our commission, our mission as a church and believers. And he said to go and to make disciples of all nations. What is a disciple? A disciple is one who believes in Jesus, but it doesn't stop there. A disciple is one who learns to follow Jesus and to grow in him. And that's why he said how we make disciples is by teaching what Jesus taught us, teaching the word of God so that we can grow and learn in it. And we come together each week to learn how to be more committed disciples. So God has given us that mission of making disciples today. And you say, well, how do we do that? We do it through supporting our missionaries. We do it through prayer. We do it through being showing love to our teachers at school. We do it through praying for our neighbors, for being a light to those around us. But carrying on that mission of making disciples, and we think of the nations, and yeah, we support our missionaries and they go other places, but I want us to think more locally. We need to be missionaries right where we are, and for us, the nations are the people that lives right next to you. Your family, those closest to you, and telling the story of Jesus to them, that they too can become a disciple and follower of Christ. The Lord has no other plan except for us, the church and believers, to continue to carry on that mission of making disciples. You're here today because someone told you about Jesus, and someone told them, and someone told them all the way back to the first original 12. And to think of it, Luke records for us in a period of 30 years, the gospel, the story of Jesus went from the town of Jerusalem, where 12 believers gathered together on the mountain as Jesus ascended. 12 people. In a period of 30 years, the story of Jesus went from Jerusalem all the way to Rome with the arrival of Paul in Rome, the capital city, the center of imperial government, and at that time was considered the center of the world and agriculture and all of that. And in 30 years' time, the story of Jesus, the gospel had gone that far. Churches had been established and new believers were come to know Christ all in a period of 30 years without the internet, without cars, without airplanes, without all the things we have. And think what they did. That was because of the Holy Spirit working and active in their lives. And the same Holy Spirit is active in you and me today, calling us to carry on that mission of making disciples, continuing the story of what Jesus had done and what he has done. So our mission is to carry on the gospel, but also to share the hope of the gospel. Notice here, as Paul arrived in Rome, what does he do? He had a burden. He had a burden for his fellow Jews, who he knew had rejected Christ, who he knew many of them had turned on the Messiah, had rejected Jesus as Messiah, but yet he had a burden for them. He wrote to the Romans earlier. He said, my heart's desire is for Israel is that they would be saved. And he had a burden for those who were of his own race. And so he gathered them together. He called together the leaders of the Jews and he assembled them to come to see him. And Luke tells us that at this time when Paul arrived at Rome, he was living in a house under house arrest with a soldier to guard him. He was chained to a soldier, but living under house arrest, and he called for the Jewish leaders to come, and what did he do? He shared with them. He said, I want to share with you the hope of Israel, and that's why I'm bound. And he shared with them the good news of the gospel, and he shared with them God's plan and the reason for the hope of salvation. What was the result? Luke says, well, they gathered together on a second time to hear more, and he shared with them from the scripture how Jesus was a fulfillment of God's plan. It said many of them rejected. And he said, what Isaiah said about you was true, that you've heard your hard-hearted, but yet his burden was that they would know. And you and I need to have a burden for those that we know within our family, loved ones that don't know Christ, and to share the reason for the hope that we have. It's up to them how they respond, whether they accept the message or reject it. But yet, we continue that mission by sharing the hope. Paul wanted the Jewish members in Jerusalem, in Rome, to know about the hope of the gospel. So he shared it with them one last time. So we carry on that mission by sharing the hope. Who is it that you know that needs to know the hope of Jesus? There's ways we can do that, and we're going to see. We also share it by making the most
of every opportunity. And that's how we carry on the mission. Paul here was in jail. He was in a house arrest. And yet he sent for the Jewish leaders to come to him. And they came to his house and he shared the gospel. But to make the most of every opportunity, you would say, well, Dan, there's not much I can do. How can I share the gospel? I'm not a preacher. I don't have those gifts. I don't have those abilities. How can I share the hope that I have? Well, Paul was in prison. He was chained to a guard. He was arrested. But it didn't stop him making the most of the opportunities, as we're going to see. Because turn with me to Colossians. While Paul was in prison, it is during this time he wrote the book of Philippians, Colossians, and Ephesians. Philippians, Colossians, and Ephesians, especially the book of Ephesians, all three of those books have been used by God to bless the lives of many Christians down through the years. But Colossians chapter 4, verses 4, 2 through 6, Paul said to the Colossians as he wrote to them from Rome in prison, making the most of the opportunity he had. He didn't sit in prison and feel sorry for himself. He made most of the opportunities there to share the hope that he had. And he said to them, devote yourself to prayer and to be watchful and thankful, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it fearlessly and clearly as I should, and be wise in the way you act towards outsiders, making the most of every opportunity. So Paul wrote to the Colossians and said, pray for me. Pray for me that I can continue to share the hope of the gospel, even when I'm in chains. And one of the ways in which you can be effective in helping to share the story around the world and with your loved ones is beginning by praying. By devoting ourselves to prayer, that's a practical thing we all can do, and praying that the gospel will go forth, that those that need to know Jesus will come to understand and be saved, and that Paul said, pray that we can proclaim it clearly and boldly. He said, make the use of every opportunity we had, and Paul did. He wrote, God used him to write those books, and that continue to teach us about Christ. Turn with me to Philemon. Philemon verses 8. We're going to start there. Philemon only has one chapter to it. And how Paul made the most of every opportunity. If you know the story of Philemon, he was a runaway slave. He was from the city of Colossae. And it's believed that he belonged, Onesimus was this runaway slave. Philemon was the owner of this slave, the master, and he lived in the town of Colossae. Onesimus was his slave who ran away from him. And Onesimus got to Rome. He ran from Colossae to Rome. And when he got there, somehow he met Paul in prison. And when he met Paul in prison, Paul shared with him the hope of the gospel. And his life was changed. And Paul's writing back to Philemon in verse 8. He says, therefore, although in Christ I could be bold and order you to do what you want to do, he's wanting him to forgive him here and appeal on the basis of love. He said, I then, as Paul, an old man, and now a prisoner of the Lord Jesus, appeal to you on behalf of my son Onesimus, who became my son while I was in chains. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he has become both useful to you and to me. You know, so I'm sending him back to you as my very heart, and I would have liked to have keep him here with me so that he can take your place in helping me with me while I'm in chains for the gospel, but I didn't want to do anything without your consent. So as we read Philippians, Philemon here, we understand that Onesimus come to faith by Paul leading him to the Lord while he was in prison. And he still made that opportunity, even though he was in jail. He still continued to share the hope that he had with the opportunities that he had. However, he came in contact with Onesimus, we don't know, but he met him and he led him to Jesus. In Philippians chapter 1, Paul writes to the church at Philippi, a church that had stood by him and had supported him in his ministry, and while he was in prison, had sent him love offerings, and he's writing back to them to thank them for the gifts they'd sent him. But he says to the church there, he said, I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear to the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I'm in chains for Christ. Because of my chains, most of the brothers of the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly. Luke tells us in Acts that he was chained to a guard. And so as the people came and visited Paul, and he shared with them the hope of the gospel, guess who heard about Jesus? The guards he was chained to. And Paul said, and because I was in prison sharing the hope of Christ, the entire Roman guard got to hear the gospel of Jesus. And he made the most of that. And the gospel continued to go forward. So we're not in prison, but what can we do? Well, one of the things you can do is pray. Another thing you can do is send cards. Send a note of encouragement to someone and let them know that you're praying for them, or to share the hope of Jesus. Ways in which you can use the opportunities you've been given to share the hope of the story of Christ. Because the acts of the Spirit continue through us today. And God continues his work in and through us in that way. Continues acting through us to bring people to Christ as we carry out his mission. The acts of the Spirit continue through us as well as we serve him to the end. Notice it says in Acts chapter 28, as we go back there, Luke says that he stayed here, verse 31, he stayed for 2 whole years in his own rented house, and he welcomed all who would come to see him. Onesimus was one, that whoever came to see him, he shared the hope of the gospel. And it said, boldly and without hindrance, he preached the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus. And we say, well, what happened to Paul after that? Well, Luke doesn't record it for us, but he faithfully served the Lord until the end. And tradition and church history tell us that Paul was released. That apparently after his 2 years of time, either his trial never came before Caesar, or he was acquitted, but he was let go. He was let out of prison, it's believed. And he went on a fourth missionary journey for another 2 years, preaching the gospel, maybe going as far as Spain, it's believed. But then he was rearrested 2 years later and placed in a dungeon and was beheaded by Nero in 64 AD. But until that time, he continued to serve the Lord faithfully. And he wrote, and the last book he ever written, and that was 2 Timothy chapter 4, the last book he wrote, the last words of Paul. He's writing to his young son in the faith. He encouraged him. And he said, I have been poured out like a drink offering, and the time has come for my departure. And he said, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race, and I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. Not only to me, but to all who have longed for his appearing. And Paul was faithful till the end, till the Lord called him home. And the Lord's Spirit was active in his life, carrying out and fulfilling the mission of God until he breathed his last breath. None of us, no matter how old we get or how long we walk with God, are ever too old to keep serving Christ. And we keep serving him until the day, faithfully, until the Lord calls us home, we take our last breath. But we continue to share that story and continue on the mission until that final day. And Paul was faithful in that. And he calls us and sets us an example. So the acts of the Spirit continue through us. And secondly, the power of the Spirit is working in us. As we continue on the mission of God today, as we continue to tell the story in our time, God's power is at work through us, enabling us to do that. The book began with that promise that Jesus gave to his first disciples when he said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And when he comes upon you and gives you power, you will be able to be my witnesses, first in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And the book of Acts had shown us how God had done that, and how he was active in his people to bring that about. But he's active. His power is working in us, making us bold and courageous. It says here in verse 31 that boldly and without hindrance, Paul preached the gospel of the kingdom of God and taught about Jesus. The same Holy Spirit who was active and working in Paul is the same Holy Spirit who in you and I, and he gives us boldness and he gives us courage when we need it. Paul had to remind Timothy, he said, the Lord didn't give us a spirit of timidity, but of boldness and of power. And it's hard sometimes for us to stand up and to speak up for Christ. We don't want to remain timid. But the Lord gives us his power so that we can be bold in our love for him. We can be bold in our faith and that people know that we love Jesus. We're not ashamed of the gospel. And we're not ashamed to say we love Christ. That boldness that we need is found in him. His spirit is working in you to do that. And his spirit is working in us to give us strength and endurance. The Holy Spirit gave Paul the strength and endurance that he needed to continue to the end, to continue to serve the Lord faithfully till he took his final breath. And he gives us the strength and endurance we need to do that. That we too can say, I have fought the good fight. I have kept the faith. Because his Holy Spirit strengthens us. His Holy Spirit gives us endurance to run the race well that is marked out for us. Do you need boldness? Ask God. His power is there. Strength, endurance, and maybe what you're going through, and trials you're facing, God gives us strength and endurance to make it and to go through those storms as we have seen last week. So God is continuing his mission. It's up to you and I. The acts of the Holy Spirit is working in and through us today. There's people that still need to know about Jesus. Who is it that you know? You write down a list. I challenge you to write down on a list on a paper in front of you this person that needs Christ that I'm going to intentionally pray for that they can come to know Christ. Because that carries on from us. And then he gives us the power of the Holy Spirit working in us to live for him, to be bold and courageous, and to have his strength in our day. So as we make it personal to respond to him this morning, the question for us this week is how can I continue the story this week? How can I carry forth the acts of the Holy Spirit through me to those that need to know Jesus? Maybe I'm going to send someone a card. Maybe I'm going to pray for this particular person to know Christ. Maybe I'm going to just make a phone call and say, hey, but what can I do this week in a practical way to carry on the message, the story of Jesus that needs to know him? Because it's up to us to make disciples. And the second question is, how is the Holy Spirit working in me? He is working in all of us. And he's working in us to make us more like him, to give us the power we need, to help us, to give us the endurance over sin, over temptation. And how is he working in me, or where does he need to work in me as he continues each and every day the power that we need? Those are the questions before to contemplate and to put into place and practice this week as we respond to him. The story is continuing because God's work continues to go forth until the church age is complete and Gabriel sounds the trumpet and God says to the Father, go get your church. Until that day is complete, the story continues to be written. And it continues to be passed on through us until that final day. So the acts of the Holy Spirit is in you, continuing working in you through the power of Christ. So let's carry on his work. Let's continue to write the story and tell the story of Jesus because it's left undone until the whole world knows. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the advancement and the power of the gospel, and we thank you for the faithfulness of those who went on before us. As the book of Acts just gives us the story of the beginning of how you started the church and how your work began through the early disciples. And now it's us as we stand in that tradition to carry on their work, to carry on actually your work in our day, as we tell others about how to love you and the wonderful story that you save. And Lord, as we share the hope that we have, and it begins with the burden, as Paul had a burden for his own, that he wanted them to know. And Lord, give us a burden for those around us that need to know you. And may your Holy Spirit carry on your acts through us as we continue to be your hands and feet in a broken world that so desperately needs to know of a way of grace and forgiveness. And Lord, you, as your Holy Spirit is active in us, as we carry on your work, you've also given us the power to do it. And so, Lord, we thank you that your Holy Spirit's power is working in us and through us to give us the boldness and the strength and endurance and the courage that we need to carry on your work in the world today. That we don't do that alone, and we can't do it in our own strength, and we can't do it in our own power. We can only do it through you. So, Lord, do your work in us. Continue to make us more like you, that as you act in and through, as your acts of your Spirit are worked out and shown through us, that others will come to know you too, that your church will continue to grow and expand, and that we continue to serve you faithfully until the day you call us home or the trumpet sounds and you take us out to be with you. So thank you, Lord, for that mission that was those who went before us. And may those who come behind us find us faithful, just as they who went before us were. And so thank you for what you've done and what you will continue to do in and through your church, to your glory and to the building of your kingdom and the glory of your name. And we ask this in Jesus' name, amen.